We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
John chapter 5. You turn with me to John chapter 5, please, this evening. And I am aware of what awaits at the end of the hour. You'd rather me say at the end of the 15 minutes. And I'll read the menu to you here in just a second, but after a second. We're looking forward to it. And happy to be together tonight, and it's encouraging to hear the rustling of the pages of the Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 5, we've been studying the miracles of Christ. And this is the maybe a familiar miracle, maybe not. Depends on if you've read John chapter 5. But the next in the line of miracles, as they happen, and the chronological order of miracles, it varies on who you read or what list you look at. But this was maybe, there are, depending on how you count them, 37 to 40 miracles of Christ listed. A lot of things, everything Christ did was a miracle from his incarnation on through. But most people list 37 miracles. And some list is number 18, some list number 14, whatever the case. But this is an amazing story. And as I've been thinking and praying and meditating and reading through this passage, I'm going to, with the Lord's help, share just a number of things that I think Lord has spoken to me about, and then we'll trust God's Holy Spirit to speak to you. But let's begin in chapter 5 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Do you think he really cared, quite frankly? He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then ask they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Excuse me. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. If you just take a moment, we'll mark a few things here if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, but you'll notice in verse 6, Wilt thou be made whole? And then in verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. In verse 11, he answered them, He that made me whole. Verse 14, Thou art made whole. And then again in verse 15, which had made him whole. And I think the question tonight is, have you been made whole? Now, I think I know the answer that I would give if you asked me that question. But there's something very interesting in these different verses and what was stated. Wilt thou be made whole? Immediately the man was made whole. He answered them that he made me whole. Thou art made whole. And if God will help us, we'll try to convey what God's Holy Spirit says, is saying to us through this. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity tonight to open the Bible, to study together. I pray that as the Puritans prayed, that you would reveal yourself through your word as we look at this miracle that Christ performed in a real man's life, in a real time in history. And may we make the application of the things that your Holy Spirit has left for us here in this scripture. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Who was this man? Or what is this? What is this all about? Well, you look in chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, probably the Passover, maybe another feast. But most commentaries would say it was the Passover. And so Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. Now, that wasn't Christ's first time at Jerusalem. Remember, at the Passover, as a matter of fact, the Passover, he went when he was 12 years old. That's when his mom and dad were looking for him on the way home, and he wasn't there. They had to go back and find him. He must be about his father's business. And then if you look back, as you see that where we've been through some of these miracles, chapter 2 of John, the first miracle, the marriage at the Cana, the miracle at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And then you see in chapter 2 and verse 13, the first Passover was the Jews' Passover, and Christ went up to Jerusalem for that. And then John chapter 3 and Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus and that great story and what happened in the life of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, as we read later in John, made it right through to the end, and I'm looking forward to seeing Nicodemus in heaven. And John chapter, as that gets into John chapter 3, you might notice at the John chapter 4, Jesus departed, headed back up to Galilee. So if you looked at the maps in the back of your Bible, and you're familiar, and I'm a visual learner, and they get a picture up here, Bethesda. And so I don't know what you're thinking about a man laying by a pool. I mean, I know what I'm thinking. Sunscreen. But This was a special place, and the waters were stirred, and people stepped in and were really healed. I don't know all that how that happened, but it really happened according to God, to the scripture, in a real place like this. So Jesus had been in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not new to him. As we head into John chapter 4, he's departing back into Galilee, goes up through Judea. So Jerusalem down in the central part, if you looked in your maps of this whole Middle East region, the Holy Land region, and that whole region called Judea. But as you move up out of Judea and get through Samaria, does that sound familiar? The woman at the well? It is interesting to me that some people list the woman at the well as a miracle and some people don't list it. I would say that was a miracle. Would you? When you got saved, you think that was a miracle? Yes. Me too. Regenerated life, all new, made whole. I'd say that was a miracle. And so, but the woman at the well up through Samaria, and then he's back up into Galilee, his home area and his home region. And then he's up there. As a matter of fact, word traveled, and you have to think, you have to know, Christ was alive for eternity past. He's incarnate. He comes to earth. Don't you suppose that all of his travel was intentional? I mean, he's only going to minister for 3.5 years. He has to his job is to reveal himself, to reveal to people who God is. Most never understood. But he's traveling, so he's in Jerusalem. He heads back. As a matter of fact, if you read in chapter 4, let's see, I think it's verse 1 and 2. Well, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard Jesus made and baptized. This is John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He left Judea, verse 3. He departed again into Galilee. At the end of, over toward the end of chapter 4, that's when he headed up through Samaria. So the Samaritans were coming to him. They besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Think about how valuable 2 days were in the life of Christ. 2 whole days of his 3.5-year earthly ministry. And many more believed because of his own word. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. But here's the verse, verse 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. So he had started his ministry in Cana, performed the miracle there, turned the water into wine, had gotten down to the Passover, so he was apparently performing miracles the whole time he's at Jerusalem. Those are not recorded for us in the scripture. But so much so that by the time he got to Galilee, all the Galileans that had made that journey to the Passover to Jerusalem had heard and seen. So that's the history here and what's happening. And then we have the nobleman's son healed. The pastor preached that. I think it was a few weeks ago, June 11, I think. I look back at my notes. The nobleman's son healed. And it says in verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So that wasn't his second miracle. That's the second one in Galilee region. So now there's a feast of the Jews, and Jesus is back to Jerusalem, making this journey again. And so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool. That's what you see pictured here. So the sheep market. And if you see pictures of Jerusalem and the dome and the Eastern Gate, which where we'll all be someday together, right across the Kidron Valley, up the Mount of Olives. So if you stand on the Mount of Olives where Christ ascended and he will return, and you look down to the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem, then you just look a little bit to your right, the northeastern side of that wall, and you'd find the Sheep Gate, about 500 feet from Temple Mount, from the temple, from the outer court of the temple, as you're looking across the Kidron Valley, where Christ saw, remember, he saw Caiaphas before they take him to Caiaphas, the high priest, across the Kidron Valley. So that's where this is, the fish gate. And it was near the temple because this is where all the livestock, the sacrifices came in for the sacrifices and for the Passover and for the feasts. And at this heavily trafficked area, you find this pool of Bethesda, this place of five porches. Bethesda means house of mercy. And it had become a place where I don't know who first discovered that when the water was troubled and you stepped in it, you got healed. But somebody did. And I imagine that didn't take too long for word to spread. And so that's where Jesus is at this time as he's headed to Jerusalem and headed to the temple. So in these lay a great multitude. You might take the time to underline that. And what I'm going to do for the next few moments, if you'll bear with me, is I'm just going to read through this passage and just take you like God's Holy Spirit took me. And phrases that seem just to pierce my heart. And what does it mean to be made whole? And what does God want to do with my life once made whole? And do I think the same thing about made whole as God thinks the same thing about made whole? So in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. So I take you the first phrase I have here is a great multitude of impotent folk, A great multitude. How many is a great multitude to you? Well, there's about 8.23 billion people in the world. That's a great multitude. That's a little big for us to wrap our mind around. There's about 340 million in the United States. I can fathom that a little bit better. There's about 11 million in North Carolina. Okay, I got that. I can see that a little bit better. There's about 383,000 in our little four county region here. Okay, all still a great multitude. Are you seeing people? Are you seeing people, a great multitude? That's what Christ saw right here, a great multitude. We could come down to our county, 167,000. We could come down to our city, about 45,000. Or you might come down to your neighborhood, a great multitude. But there's a great multitude, and they all have the same need. We all have the same need. All of us. And that's for Christ to make us whole. The Bible says of these people that they were blind. They were unable to see. What did Christ say? I am the light of the world. Amen. The Bible tells us that these were halt. They were lame. They were unable to walk. The book of Romans, Paul says we are raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. These people were withered. Isn't that a descriptive word? They were malnourished. What did Christ say? I am the bread of life. And Jesus saw them, and he had compassion on them. Now, it wasn't the first time Jesus wept over Jerusalem. The Bible actually says only twice that Jesus wept. One at the grave of Lazarus, his friend. And the other time when he was headed to Calvary, and he looked out over Jerusalem, and he wept. Now, on one other occasion, he looked at Jerusalem and said, Oh, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou stonest the prophets, because he knew Jerusalem was not going to turn to Christ and see the way. But here, Christ comes upon this pool, this gate, this space, and there's a great multitude of impotent folk. All around you and all around me. Keep going. Verse 3. Blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They were all waiting for the same thing. At some point in life, I think we all need God to move or to work in an unusual way. We need a special moving. I mean, we go through our life most of the time just as fast as we can, here, there, everywhere, all we can do. But sometimes God gets our attention, and we need a special move. That's what these people experienced. They were waiting for the moving of the water. They needed a special touch from God. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, the pastor just mentioned this to me the other day, and I think this was before I got here, but Scott Pauley, I've heard him talk about it, preached a message in this church from 2 Samuel, and David is inquiring of the Lord about the Philistines. This is 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I think it's Matthew Henry referred to this passage in reference to this moving of the water. You recall the passage? Here it is. And David inquired of the Lord, and he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. A special moving of God's Spirit marked something significant. It was going to be significant for somebody that got to that pool first and got in. And the Christian life, as Pastor Sexton used to say, and you've heard our pastor say, is a series of new beginnings. And there are times when God works in an unusual way to take your life to a next level, another plateau. Or to take a church to the next level, another plateau. It's a special moving. It doesn't last forever. That water, that stirring of the water didn't last forever. I can imagine it only lasted a moment before somebody was able to get there and be made whole, waiting for the moving of the water. Keep going. Look at verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first. Did you make note of that? Whosoever then first. And I'll just tell you, I'm thankful that I didn't have to be first. I'm way too late to be first. Because the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever, not whosoever first. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Mark 10. Whosoever cometh to me in Luke chapter 6. Whosoever shall confess me in Luke 12. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give in John 4. Whosoever believeth on me in John 12. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord in Acts chapter 2 and Romans 10. Whosoever believeth in him. Now I'm glad for everybody that whomever got to that pool first and got healed when that water was stirred. But you didn't have to be first. There's room at the cross for you. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have to be the first. Whosoever may come. Amen. And that's for you. Come what? To be made whole. That's what Christ wants. Keep going in verse 4. The troubling of the water. After the troubling, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole. Here it is. Of whatsoever disease he had. There were no incurable diseases when the water was troubled. Nothing was too hard for God. I imagine that had to be some type of God's Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I do know this. The people that you encounter, the multitude that you're thinking about, the people in your neighborhood, in your office, in your city, none of them have things that are too hard for God. Whatsoever disease he had. Isaiah said it this way, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah chapter 38, for peace I had great bitterness, for thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Friends, that's made whole. Made whole. Keep going. We're in verse 5. You make note in verse 3. Remember back up there where it said a great multitude? I've run a line in my Bible from great multitude to verse 5, and it says, and a certain man. Now we've left the great multitude and gotten to a certain man. Now it's just down to this man and his encounter with Jesus Christ. A certain man, thou compassest my path, my lying down, and aren't acquainted with all my ways, the psalmist said. The woman was pressed by the crowd as Christ was moving through, and Jesus said she'd been had an infirmity for 12 years, and Christ was going to see a try to heal a young girl who'd been sick for 12 years. 12 years old and was going to die. Excuse me, this woman had been sick for 12 years. And the crowd is pressing, and Christ stopped and said, who touched me? A certain woman touched him, was seeking to be made whole. Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree, and all that crowd that was there that day, and Christ looked up and saw Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross. All that was going on there, Christ is hanging on the cross. And the crowd, some jeering, some in awe, some wondering. And Christ spoke to him, one man, and made him whole. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him, he was there, by the way, in infirmity, 38 years. 38 years. Well, it's easy to read and move on, isn't it? 38 years is a long time. It's most of my life, now at 45. 38 is most of my life. But 38, how many of you here tonight are not 38 years old? Would you raise your hand? How many of you are less than 38 years old? Would you raise your hand? Real high. Look at that. See that? Okay. I can't believe some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm stunned. 38 years. That's a long time. With great hopes, Every time, great hopes. Every time, great hopes. Of that water stirring. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there today. I don't know if they had it cordoned off and you couldn't get so close, you know, and it's like TSA at the airport. You can't, I don't know how that is. But 38 years. We get impatient if we're ill for 3 days. 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew, he knows everything, that he had been now a long time in that case. How long have we been in this case since Genesis chapter 2? This multitude, these people that we know, this need of being made whole. More than 38 years in this case. This is where the world has been. But that's where he found this man. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Come back to that in a moment. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Sir, I have no man. Isn't that sad? Is there anybody that you know that says, I have no man? I have no man. Psalmist said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. This pool was less than 500 feet from the temple. Don't you think that somebody would have started a ministry at the temple to coordinate days when they're going to the pool and it, just in case it stirs that day to help people that can't get in? That's what Hope for Hickory is about, by the way. 500 feet from the temple were all these religious people that were worried about this man carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And he said, sir, I have no man. Remember the Samaritan traveler, and he went to him, the man that was beaten on the road. And the Samaritan found him, and he bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. You know what it was? He was a man for that injured person to help him. He needed help. The Greek said to Philip at the triumphal entry, sir, we would see Jesus. That's what the multitude is saying to you and to me. Philip said when he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest what thou readest? And the reply was, how can I accept what? Some man should guide me. That's our part. Made whole. And Jude said this way, and some have compassion, making a difference. We'll keep moving. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step is down before me. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured. It is the Sabbath day, and it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, and here's what I have underlined next. What man is that? What man is that? Remember when Pilate said to Christ himself, art thou the King of the Jews? What man is that? Christ asked his disciples the same thing, same question. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha, one of those times that Christ was in their home, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's who the man is. What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Verse 13, and he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And I love verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him. Jesus findeth him. Do you think that was an accident? I mean, Christ heals the man, and then he disappears into the crowd. But this is God. He knows everything. So he knows this man's going to turn up at the temple. And Jesus findeth him. What has to happen before finding? Seeking. Well, if you've been made whole, Jesus sought you. We don't seek anything. Jesus sought him. And Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus found him. He findeth him. Now here's the point. Will you be made whole? So you notice in verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? That's Christ speaking. In verse 9, it says, and immediately the man was made whole. That's the narrator speaking, John, through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole. That's the man speaking. And then in verse 14, Christ reminds him, thou art made whole. Now, if God by his Holy Spirit will help me, here's the interesting thing about that to me. The made, because see, I always emphasize the whole, made whole. And that, I get that. But look at the word made in verse 6. You see that? And the word made in verse 9, and the word made in verse 11, and the word made in verse 14. But verse 6 and 11 and 14 are all from the same Greek word. And no, I can't pronounce it. Verse 9 is a different Greek word. Okay? Verse 6 is Christ speaking. Verse 9 is the Holy Spirit speaking through John. Verse 14 is Christ speaking again. Same words. Verse 9 is the man, verse 11 is the man speaking. Because what I wonder when I read this passage, I remember, he heals the guy up here, and you're saying, hold a minute. But did the guy get saved up there? Okay, so he's walking. And then you get down here to verse 14, and I think, okay, well, yeah, that thou art made whole. But the made in verse 6 and 9 and 14 is from a Greek word that means it's more what Christ did to him. Lord, help me explain this. He became. Christ did to him and became something. What the man thought happened was what Christ did for him. And now he can walk. Do you get the difference? The man knows he can walk. He's carrying his bed. He can walk. But Christ reminds him, in verse 14, I didn't just heal you so you can walk. I made you whole. Paul said in 2 Corinthians this way, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Are you ready for this? Behold, all things are become. It's the same Greek word that you find in verse 6 and 9 and 14. Same Greek word. Become, made. So I say, the man didn't even know how to express it, what had happened to him. He didn't even know. He didn't even realize what had happened to him. And I'm wondering in my life, do I realize the fullness at which God wants to make me whole. Thou art made whole. And I can confidently say to you, if you're a believer and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ tonight, you've been, verse 14, made whole. Which is better than verse 9, verse 11, excuse me, made whole. It's better. It's eternal. Now, I'm glad that guy could walk. I don't know how old he was when he died, but let's put it way out there. I mean, if he lived to be 98, if he lived 60 more years, but that was 2,000 years ago right now. What Christ did for him was better than him stepping into the pool and just being able to walk again. It was better, far better. So the Holy Spirit's been saying to me, are you made whole? Well, I am made whole. So do I act like it? Do I see the multitude around me? Do I see the needs of people? Am I willing to be an advocate, a testimony, responsible for those with whom I come in contact? Nathan Newby, Sunday night, said, we need to have more conversations about Jesus. Wasn't that powerful? I'm going to get him to sign my Bible as soon as I find him. We need to have more conversations about Jesus. That's right. Why? Because we've been made whole. And that's what that's what the multitude needs. And I'm probably not going to encounter, I'm not going to encounter many of the 8 billion people in the world. Not many. Maybe not too very many of the 340 million. But I encounter a lot of people in my neighborhood. I encounter a lot of people at Walmart. I encounter a lot of people, right? And they all have the same need that this man had. And a lot of them are waiting for the water to stir so they can do something. No, they need Christ to make them whole. They need Christ to make them whole. And Christ wants to make them whole. Whosoever will may come.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.